everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime, cult, conspiracy, and crypto podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle. And it's still spooky season. I think we have one more each.
Like this one?
Yeah. This week and then next week.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, you got to do an extra one this year.
I did, which was very fun.
Lucky for you.
I know.
I did not. I only got to do two.
Yeah, I was surprised that I did three, but I guess when the first falls on a Tuesday, it's going to extend your...
Yeah, that's true. Okay, mine's kind of longer-ish.
Okay.
Longer than my last few have been, I would say. But I did a place that had a lot of stuff. So.
Sweet. I'm excited. Also, please excuse the panting of the dog next to me if you can hear it.
I really hope you can't hear it, because that's going to be really fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is.
Also, I went to... I'm sure we're going to talk about your ghost thing.
Yeah, I can talk about mine.
But I went to the Capitol on Friday and did like a Shadows and Spirits tour on Friday night. And it was really fun. So I don't know if they continue to do it all through... October, or if it was just one day, one weekend, whatever. But if people are looking for a fun thing to do, it was like a hour long tour, and it was cool to see the Capitol at night. And yeah, so there we go.
Yeah, you said it was less ghosty, more history, though, right?
Yeah, I didn't say anything about being well. Ghosty. It's
the name is kind of misleading. Shadows and Spirits.
Oh,
so I just wanted to clarify that it was less spirits as in haunting and more spirits as in like the history.
Sure. Okay. Should I just get into it?
Yeah.
Okay. So for my final episode, I decided to go to a city instead of a whole state.
Wow.
I know. So I went from a whole country to just a city. So here we go. But I am going to do the city of New Orleans.
Ooh, cool.
You knew this, though, didn't you?
Yeah, but I didn't know if you were going to for sure.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to start the episode talking a little bit of the history of New Orleans first, because I think it has an interesting background. So New Orleans was first claimed for the French crown by explorer Robert Cavalier in 1682, and you're gonna have to do the French pronunciation.
I can do my best.
La Nouvelle Orleans. How do you say new in French?
Nouveau, I think.
Nouveau.
Yeah.
La Nouveau Orleans was founded by Jean Baptiste Lamon de Benville.
Ooh.
Benville? In 1718, upon the slightly elevated banks of the Mississippi River. Obviously, they needed... Well, never mind. Engineers laid out a grid of streets with a place to arms that would have been known as the Vieux Carré, or Old Square, or as we know it today as the French Quarter. So that was like the center of everything.
Okay.
It became the capital of the French colony of Louisiana in 1723, so the city is old.
Yeah.
There were two fires that were disastrous to New Orleans in 1788 and 1794, and these fires destroyed many of the original French structures. By this time, Louisiana had become a Spanish territory, so a lot of the new buildings had a Spanish architecture flair to them, including the wrought iron balconies, courtyard yards, and above ground cemeteries that we see today in, like, when you think New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I find interesting, because I did not realize that that was Spanish architecture.
Right, me either.
Oh, I thought it was French. Okay. The Spanish also liberalized policies governing slavery, which enabled the dramatic growth of free people of color, which is awesome.
That's really cool.
In the 1800s, the Spanish gave Louisiana back to the French, only to have Napoleon sell the entire Louisiana colony, including New Orleans, to the U.S. as part of the $15 million Louisiana Purchase, which was finalized December 20th, 1803. Fun fact that I didn't know was that New Orleans was no stranger to pirates and privateers. I did not know that. Yeah.
It's a really long history with pirates.
Famous, I wouldn't say that. The most famous being Jean Lafitte and his brother Pierre. Jean was known as a fixer and a rogue, who played an important role in aiding Major General Andrew Jackson and the Americans in their victory over the British during the Battle of New Orleans in 1815. Apparently, his old headquarters are still located at 941 Bourbon Street, and the building dates to about the 1770s. And it is said to be the oldest structure housing a bar in the United States.
But not a long history with pirates.
Not a whole lot of pirates, I said.
I said a long history with pirates.
Yeah, but like that, when you say it that way, it seems like a lot of pirates went there.
Oh, no, I meant like pirates have been there since like the early times of the...
Yeah, since 1813 at least, or 15 at least.
Yeah, that's more what I meant.
Yeah. Now, with so much history, there are a lot of haunted and spooky places we can talk about, so let's get into it. New Orleans is the second, they claim to be the second most haunted city. And
what claims to be the most haunted city?
Savannah, Georgia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we know what we're going to cover next year.
Dibs.
Damn it.
The first place we're going to talk about today is Marielle's Jackson Square. Marielle's Jackson Square was built by a man named Pierre Antoine Leopoldi Jordan, which I've noticed all these people have like 18 names. And it was said to be his dream home. Resorting the property to its original grandeur after it had burned down in a fire. Now, Pierre loved his home, but the only thing he may have loved more than his home was gambling. And in 1814, he wagered his beloved home in a poker game and ended up losing the one thing he treasured most in life.
Oh, shit.
Could you imagine winning a house in a poker game?
No, I don't even know how to play poker, so...
The shock of the loss was so intense that before he left the property, Pierre took his own life on the second floor.
Oh, that's really sad.
Now, Murals Jackson Square is a restaurant today, and they embrace the tragic past of Pierre and the fact that he does still haunt the premise of his house. People believe that his ghost doesn't appear in human form, but rather as a glimmer of sparkly light wandering around the appropriately named Science Lounge. I want to be described as a glimmer of sparkly light.
I was going to say, would you rather show as a glimmer of sparkly light or as yourself?
A glimmer of sparkly light.
When you become a ghost. Me too.
But I want the skeleton onesie to be apparent.
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday now.
Do not get me a skeleton onesie. That's reserved.
Returning what I bought.
Reserved for the afterlife. Okay. Also in the seance lounge, it is said that knocking on the brick wall may interact with communication, and a female voice has been picked up on recordings when no females are present. I don't know who this female voice would be.
I was just going to ask.
But, yeah. Other guests and employees of the restaurant have also witnessed objects being moved around throughout the restaurant. Literally watched objects being moved around.
God, that would be so fucking trippy.
Yeah. And then, although Pierre is known as the main ghost of Murals, there is also a rather mischievous ghost that likes to hang out in the courtyard bar. Three times since March of 2021, glasses have flown from behind the bar 12 feet across to the brick wall and shattered. That's just kind of
I wonder scary. Why if it's since after COVID.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because 2021 would be kind of when things were starting to open back up. So, yeah. Do you think maybe something got kind of pissed that nobody was coming around for a while, and now it's like, hey, you fucking left me.
Yeah, maybe. Although people don't know who this ghost is, they speculate it could be anyone from an old servant to previous patrons or owners of the bar. So there we go. Would visit, I think. It looks pretty cool. The Seance Lounge looks really cool, actually. It's kind of like got this like dark kind of like ambiance.
And they do like ghost tours and stuff too? Or no. Is it just a restaurant?
Just a restaurant. The next location, I don't... Well, okay, so the thing about New Orleans... Let me just get to it at the end because I do mention it at the end.
Okay,
so,
okay.
The next location we're going to talk about is Le Petit Theatre. Theater. Which is, if you ask me, ask theater staff, has more than 40 wandering souls who reside in its building. The building that the theater resides in is dated all the way back to the early days of New Orleans, and before it was a theater, it was used for a variety of different purposes, such as the home of Louisiana's last Spanish governor, and later as barracks for Union soldiers dating during the Civil War. The theater only came about when a local performing arts troupe called the Drawing Room Players needed a larger venue to perform in, so they bought out the building that houses the theater now and converted it into the theater it is today. Many of the ghosts that hang out predate the theater. It is said that the Union soldiers that once occupied the theater never left, and witnesses often see ghosts in full Union uniforms wandering the building. I don't know why, but like, seeing ghosts in military uniform kind of would freak me out, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
So you think that would be worse than seeing somebody in just like regular Victorian clothing or something?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Okay. Others have reported just hearing the stomping of marching boots on the floors, as well as hearing soldiers discuss military strategies. Which that would actually be kind of interesting.
Yeah, you're like, wait, what are they planning?
Oh. Like, oh, guess what? You guys won the war.
That works. That works. Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
One particular soldier has been seen on multiple occasions standing in front of a wall, fixing his uniform as if he was looking into a mirror. And some say that a large mirror was once where he That's is really like cool. looking into the wall.
That's really cool.
Is that true? Man, I don't know, but it is cool. Other witnesses report feeling random cold spots in certain areas of the building. People who have taken photos of the theater have captured floating orbs as well as hazy apparitions. I know me and you are both.
I thought you said arms at first, like floating
just arms.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute. And then you corrected and said the word, but.
I know that both of us don't really...
We're pretty skeptical about orbs.
Yeah. But yeah. There was reports of a nun scaring casts of the show Saturday Night... Oh, gosh. C-A-T-E-C-H-I-S-M.
Catechism?
Whatever. Sorry. I should have looked, but I didn't. Which features a nun as the main character.
Yeah, it's catechism. Because that's a Catholic thing.
There were
which we're not.
So there is a ghost nun.
Apparently. Well, she probably didn't really like the fact that, depending on what was in the show.
She was often mistaken as the star of the show, but cast members were often freaked out when the nun would appear behind them, slap them on the back, and then disappear just as quickly.
She's pissed. She's like, fuck you.
She's a little trickster. One of the scarier ghosts that haunts Le Petit Theater is that of an ex-manager who died by suicide. He shot himself while sitting in the office lounge. Employees who work the late night shifts get the unnerving feeling of being watched by his angry spirit. They report getting chills in the office lounge as well as hearing someone banging on the desk and drawers, even though no one is in the space. Ooh. There is a ghost called Caroline, who was an actress who was seeing one of the theater's maintenance men. And one night, the two decided to get busy high up on the catwalk when one thing led to another. Uh-oh. And somehow Caroline fell from the catwalk.
Oh, no.
Her neck broke upon impact, killing her instantly, and she was found tangled in wire with the curtains covering her naked body. The maintenance man disappeared shortly afterwards, leading many to believe that this wasn't an accident, but on purpose.
Ugh.
Caroline is often seen floating or along the catwalk high above the stage. Her semi-transparent apparition has also been seen walking around backstage. There's
a question for you, though.
Yeah.
If you accidentally, like, your partner died while you were doing the dirty, would you not, at that time, would you not run, too?
I don't know.
I think I would, because I'd be like, no one is going to believe this. No one's going to believe this. And if I can get away with just disappearing, I might just go.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually killed her. I don't think I really believe that, actually, if it was me. But I think he was maybe more just, like, heartbroken and couldn't be there scared. Anymore.
I'd be scared.
So, yeah.
So that was just my random question.
There's also a black servant who is commonly seen outside the theater's entrance. During the early days of the theater, servants were forced to wait outside while their employers enjoyed the show. This poor man's soul is stuck outside waiting for his employer to come out, even in the afterlife, leading many to wonder if his employer's soul is one of the 40 plus who seems to haunt the inside of the theater.
Oh, damn. That's a lot.
So he was like, I can't leave because I'm still waiting for my person.
Ugh.
Yeah. And finally, some people claim to hear the sound of a faint piano being played, although the origin has never been found.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's a big one. Yeah. Lots of stuff going on at the Petite Theater.
That's really cool.
The next location we're going to talk about is known as the Sultan's Palace. The home was originally owned by a man named Jean-Baptiste Laprite. A lot of Jean-Baptistes, yeah. A lot of Pierres, a lot of...
Well, the French influence is very noticeable.
Yeah. Who owned the home as well as a plantation where he would split his time. But when the Civil War hit, the family could no longer afford to upkeep both homes, so he decided to lease the home in the French Quarter. Thankfully, a man of Middle Eastern descent soon approached Jean and explained that his brother, who happened to be a sultan, was interested in leasing the home. Jean didn't ask many questions, but readily signed the contracts to put the lease in place. Not too long after, a ship arrived in the port of New Orleans carrying women said to be dressed in their finery of silks and satins and vibrant colors. Then there were men dressed in dark military clothing, each carrying a long bayonet. And then finally the brother of the sultan and the sultan himself. Also on the boat was a bunch of furniture and riches that even the locals like hadn't seen before. And they kind of like paraded this whole group and all the shit just like down the main street of New Orleans and straight into the mansion.
That's crazy.
And then they kind of locked themselves inside. They didn't really come out or interact with everyone or anyone. But every night, neighbors reported hearing the sounds of soft music, women's and men's laughter, and then the sounds of pleasure and the smells of opium wafting out of the open windows. But the local New Orleans people were never invited to the Sultan's parties, and that kind of pissed some of them off.
All right, Maleficent. Jeez.
Then one night, a storm rolled into town, and legend said that everyone in the French Quarter buckled down, dimming their candles and closing their shutters. The wind roared and the thunder boomed all night long, but then the morning broke, the skies were crystal clear and blue again. One man was enjoying a early morning stroll when he came upon the Sultan's palace, when he stopped dead in his tracks. Trickling down the front steps was blood pooling in the divots of the uneven stone. The man ran to the police station to report what he had seen, and when a police arrived to the home, the blood had become thicker and deeper. When they entered the home, they were greeted to a terrible sight. Bodies littered the ground, some had been flayed open while others were missing limbs.
Oh my God.
This continues all the way through the house until they reached the courtyard where they found a hand poking through the ground, and the Sultan himself had been buried alive and died trying to claw himself free. Although we don't know who for sure committed the terrible crime, police believe it was the act of the Sultan's brother, as his body was never found. Now, this story has never actually been proven to be true, and nobody can find anything linking.
So it's just kind of like a...
like a myth or a legend, it seems like. But it doesn't obviously stop
the stories.
The stories from running rampant and all that fun stuff.
I was going to say, how could I have never have heard of this before? That would be why.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily true.
So today the building has been renovated to house 6 different apartments. And residents and visitors have alike have reported ghostly behavior. 1979, a woman named Miss D'Amico was crawling into bed in the penthouse apartment she shared with her husband when she witnessed a dark figure at the end of her bed. It began to approach her, gliding over the floor. When Miss D'Amico panicked and turned on the lamp sitting on her bedside table, the room was obviously flooded with light and the figure was gone. That would make me shit my pants.
I would be sleeping with the light on for a Ever. Hot minute.
Yeah,
literally. A hot minute.
Another resident stated that she would notice that her things would often go missing, particularly her keys. And there is also said to be the ghost of a Confederate soldier who haunts the building in a uniform. But most people don't know, like, where he came from because there weren't ever Confederate soldiers in New Orleans. So,
weren't there
Union?
Yeah, but weren't... I thought you said there were... Oh, did you say it was barracks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I misunderstood. I thought you... When you said barracks, I thought you were... You meant, like... They were being held there as prisoners of war.
Mm-mm.
But I misunderstood. Because I was going to say, wait, that doesn't make sense. But that does make sense. No. Okay.
So maybe this guy was a prisoner of war.
Yeah. Or maybe he was a spy.
Maybe. Who knows?
He was a Union soldier dressed as a Confederate soldier.
Maybe. So. Okay. So that is the Sultan's Palace. We are going to visit two more places in our episode today. And the first one is going to be... The LaLaurie Mansion.
Oh, God.
You've heard of this one?
Yeah.
Which claims to be the most haunted mansion in New Orleans.
This place is fucked.
The LaLaurie Mansion was named after Madame Delphine LaLaurie. Madame Delphine was born Mary. Actually, not even Mary. Jesus Christ. It's Marie. I told you, I've had like, this weird day.
Literally
like,
a Sunday morning.
I just don't have a brain today. Like, I've already told you two things that happened, and now I can't read the damn word. I still am having a hard time with it. Marie.
Yeah. And I love that it's, like, the most basic fucking name. It's like, if it was named, like, Danielle, and you're like, it's Diana.
Literally.
It just tickles me pink.
She was known to be the gentle and sweet daughter of a well-off family, but grew up to be known as the, quote, cruel mistress of the haunted house, end quote. Two of her husbands died of strange causes, yet it was her third marriage Murder. Where people began to become suspicious of her. Madame Delphine's third marriage was said to be the driver of to her madness inside of the mansion.
Okay.
Where she lived with her hot young husband. Apparently he was hot and young. Reports began
hot young
to
and crazy.
Huh?
Hot young and crazy.
Reports began to circulate about the abuse that Madame Delphine inflicted upon her slaves and even her own daughters. In the spring of 1834, LaLaurie Mansion was set on fire and it revealed the truly horrible living conditions a number of slaves who were being tortured, starved, and beaten were living in. It was alleged that the fire was actually started by a slave who had been chained in the kitchen in an attempt to expose the way that she and others were being treated. And if you think about it, like, think about how desperate, like, she was literally chained in the kitchen and she started it on fire.
Yeah. Like, burning to death is more preferable
than
living like this.
Exactly.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. Madame Delphine and her family fled the scene, and she was never caught, unfortunately. Shortly after, the house was converted to apartments. Many of the ghosts who are believed to be in the mansion are said to be those of slaves who were mistreated by Madame Delphine. Moaning is said to be heard in one room that was known to be where the slaves were held. Phantom footsteps echo throughout the house with regularity, and many people who have spent time in the house have said that they have felt like they were being taken over by a negative energy. In 1894, after the fire in the mansion was turned into apartments, one of the tenants who lived in the mansion was brutally murdered in his room. They found his belongings ransacked through, leaving police to believe he was a victim of robbery, even though it seems nothing of value was taken. One friend told police that his friend had claimed, the one who died, had claimed that he was having problems with spirits in the house before the murder. He claimed that there was a demon in the house who wasn't going to rest until he had met his end, which he ended up meeting it very brutally in that exact house.
Yikes.
This led a lot of people to think that maybe some ghostly phenomenon helped with the murder. In the mid-19th century, the LaLaurie Mansion was actually converted to an all-girls African-American primary school.
Oh, I bet the spirit of Madame LaLaurie loved that.
Within a short amount of time, reports of physical assaults came to light. Young girls began approaching their teachers with tears streaming down their faces and their sleeves rolled up. The exposed part of their forearms were scratched and bruised. And when the girls were asked who did this to them, they would answer, "That woman," end quote, end quote, end quote.
I got you.
This led many to believe that Madame Delphine's spirit was the one attacking these girls.
Yeah.
And then the last place I want to talk about today is the story of the Casket Girls. Have you heard this?
No.
I don't. I feel like maybe you have.
I might have heard of it as a different name.
Okay. In 1727, a convent of Ursuline nuns settled in New Orleans. The mission became famous for housing educated workers, but New Orleans had fallen on some rough times. The men of the new city needed eligible women to marry so the population could grow. Apparently, New Orleans women weren't deemed eligible enough, being too loose, too Choctaw, which is the indigenous people,
okay,
too African, or too independent to make good mothers.
So, oh, darn. In the independent women.
In the article I wrote, they described these women as, like, they just didn't give a fuck about the men of New Orleans.
That's because they saw what trash the men of New Orleans were, and they're like, fuck these guys. Yeah, they're like,
we don't want to fucking deal with these guys either. So the King of France declared that he would send young women to the colony where they would be educated at the convent and made into worthy wives and mothers. There's a legend that surrounds one particular group of girls brought over from France. They were called the Casket Girls because they were only allowed to bring one trunk full of their own stuff. And at the time, trunks were called caskets. In some versions of the story, the girls were orphans and other lower class citizens. And then in other versions of the stories, the girls were well-off French citizens whose caskets would contain their dowries. This particular group of girls, though, was different because when they came over, they were deathly pale, gaunt, and looked malnourished. The ones who survived the journey were nursed back to health in the convent and at the convent and educated by nuns until they were married. It was said that the batch of girls was actually a group of vampires who wanted to branch out into the new world to either increase their numbers or because it was becoming harder to hide in the old world.
That's fucking hilarious.
They slept in their caskets during the day and prowled the night to find victims. Now, it was said that when the girls arrived in New Orleans, their caskets weren't meant to be opened until after they were married, so the nuns would put them in the third story attic of the convent.
Okay.
And then they sealed the room shut so nobody could get in there and like take their shit. And maybe they thought people would run off or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
When the French king learned that many of these girls who were shipped over to New Orleans for marriage were being mistreated by their husbands, he actually ordered the girls be returned back to France. So in preparation, the nuns went to the third floor to get the girls' things, only to find that every single suitcase was empty, even though the room had been sealed.
What?
The nuns believed that something sinister was afoot, so they made it so nothing and no one could ever enter or leave that third floor again, going as far as to nail all the shutters shut with nails blessed by Pope John Paul II. To this day, the third floor is off limits and the shutters are all still nailed shut. And it is still a convent.
That is crazy.
And you can see like the shutters on the third That's floor crazy. Never open. So now, obviously, with a city like this, there are multiple different ghost tours that you can do. And they will all stop at these places along the way, as well as many, 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 many other locations to tell you about the ghosts. It seems like a lot of them don't actually go inside any of these places, but more so kind of just like, kind of like when we did the walking tour of Stillwater,
yeah,
where they kind of stop outside of it. So
okay,
if this would be, if you're ever in New Orleans and you want to do a ghost tour, like I said, there's about 7,500 different options you can choose from. And I'm pretty sure our uncle has done
I would be one shocked if he hadn't.
So, yeah.
I would be shocked if he hadn't.
There we go. There's the story of New Orleans. That's like just scratching the surface, essentially. There's so many.
So you could probably do another episode on that if you wanted to.
Easily could do another episode on New Orleans. Yeah.
That doesn't overly surprise me because you didn't even get to any of this stuff like after Katrina. Because like I heard that after Katrina, shit really like amped up for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. But yeah, I kind of focus more on like the older stuff.
Yeah, I would too, honestly.
New Orleans, not really a place I have any
me either
desire to visit.
Did you know that our parents have banned us from going there without a male until we're 30?
Yeah, I knew that.
I was like, you're worried about me, of all people.
I don't think they'd actually ban us, but...
But they're like, they would be very disappointed if we went.
They say smart girls do stupid things in New Orleans.
Yep, that is exactly what they say.
But it just doesn't... I've just not heard, like, the best things about it, and I don't think it is what it used to be.
That and the other place that I really have zero interest in going is Vegas.
Vegas is fun.
I have no interest in going to Vegas at all. Like, everybody who goes is like, oh, it's really fun. I really enjoyed it. Like, whatever. And I'm sure I would like it, but it just sounds really overwhelming.
It's fun for, like, 3 days, and then it's like, okay, I can go now.
So it's like a long weekend kind of trip.
Friday to Sunday.
Okay.
Easily. Yeah.
Or, so flights are cheaper, Saturday to Monday.
Sure. Yeah. So there you go. Here's New Orleans. My sources are Merles.com, NolaGhost.com, GhostCityTours.com, French Quarter, Phantoms.com, GhostCityTours.com again, NewOrleans.com, and I used like two different websites or two different articles from NewOrleans.com.
Okay. So, cool. There you
go. There's my story on New Orleans.
Your last spooky of the spooky season 2024.
Spooky, yep. Story. So
cool. I enjoyed that.
Thanks.
I think to me this also sounds like a place that if I do go, it's gonna be for like a long weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a foodie, like I think I would really,
yeah,
I would be higher up on my list.
Yeah,
but I'm,
I would rather
too picky of an eater.
I would rather go to Savannah.
I would rather go to Savannah too. So
like, and the main reason I would go is really for the haunted shit.
I just like the history.
Yeah, that kind of stuff would be why I'd go too.
So,
and the Casa Girls, I'd heard of them as Le Fidoa, the Girls of the King.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's just what they were called when they went to Canada.
But New Orleans has like always had a very long history with vampires too.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because of Vampire Diaries and the originals, but... Yeah, so they do believe that, like, these girls, this group of girls, like, tricked them basically into sending them over to the New World so they could run rampant.
Interesting.
I hope they killed all the shitty men. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
What are you?
Are you going to do our socials? Or?
Our socials are MW Madness Podcast Gmail, and that is also our Instagram. And then Midwest Madness Podcast group on Facebook. And we have been really shitty about doing socials lately, like posting stuff.
I honestly just always forget it's Tuesday.
I know. We should just set like an alert in our phones.
Yeah.
Because like I keep meaning to post stuff. And this is the fun stuff to post, you know, because it's like the videos of Sarah Winchester's, that video that I was going to post with the ghost light or whatever.
Oh,
that
yeah,
could
yeah,
actually probably just be a person for a promo. That's what I think it is. But, you know, this would be kind of the cool stuff to post and we are forgetting. So maybe over the next like week or so, we try and get stuff posted for the whole month.
Okay.
We'll try.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you all next Tuesday.
Bye.